Well, hi there. This is a sojourner, and we're thinking in terms of He gave, the He being God, being Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all these things that the Trinity gives us. So He gave. And our scripture, well, before I do that, let me welcome all the people who are here and those of you who are joining us over the internet around the world. Some of you will join us live. Others of you will download this for weeks and weeks and months to come. We're always amazed at the number of messages that have been downloaded from 3 years ago or 4 years ago that are downloaded, and we're glad for that. So He gave, and this is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And it's about unity in the body. I'm reading from the NIV, so if whatever you're reading doesn't follow along exactly, you'll understand why. But I do use the NIV because it's easy for people to understand, and also the I in NIV means it's international, which means that the words will mean the same whether you're in Great Britain or Australia or New Zealand or in the United States or Canada or anywhere English is spoken. And that's the reason it's called the International Version. So Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, the Apostle Paul here refers to himself as a prisoner when he's speaking to the Ephesians or writing to them. Remember, this type of prisoner is like that of a bond slave. It is by his own choice. A bond slave was a slave by his own choice, even after he was released. The bond slave would have his earlobe nailed to the door of his former master to show a sign that he belonged. Of course, they would put a ring in it then, and it would show that he was a bond slave by choice because he had such affection and respect for the man or the person, woman who had been his master. Now, you see, Satan enslaves by trickery against the will. But God has people serve him because they understand who he is and serve him out of the bond of love. This is why Paul is saying that he is a slave, because he has chosen Christ and he has chosen to serve Christ in the same way that a bond slave would, because he loves Christ for how Christ has done for him, the grace that Christ has given him. And so he looks at that and he says, I am a prisoner. And he calls himself that. He's a bond slave. Now, Paul urges the Ephesians to live worthy, or it could easily be translated there appropriately, according to their calling. Each believer, if you're a believer, you're one of the each believers, has a call from God to fit into the whole body of believers, which is the body of Christ, to fulfill your function or call within that body. This is very important for people to understand. Because if you do not understand this, you'll become just sort of a loose cannon. You'll be out there going hither and thither and to and fro and bouncing from place to place. You will not be steady, because you will not be a part of a body which gives you a place to function. You know, many times people will say, well, I can be a Christian and never be a part of any body. I never have to go to a church service. I never have to go to a Bible study. I don't need to be a part of a fellowship, because I can just commune with God any place I am. Well, now, they're accurate to a point. But how can you be a part of a body if you're never a part of a body? You see, God called us to work together to bring in his kingdom and to do his will and his desire. This is why Paul talks of being, to quote him, completely humble and gentle. First of all, to be a part of a body, you have to be humble. You have to admit, I'm a part of something, not that I'm the whole thing. And Paul says, be completely humble and gentle. He says, be patient. Now, I will tell you something, my friends. I believe that being patient in waiting on God, I believe, is the purest form of worship. So many times I've seen people be impatient. Impatient with themselves, impatient with God. And then Paul talks here about bearing with one another in love. Unwilling to bear up anyone, thinking that everything revolves around them. So Paul says to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now let me ask you a question. How do you keep the unity of Spirit through the bond of peace if you're not involved with anyone else? If you think it's all you need is just you and God, how can you do that? How could you even begin to follow the admonishment from Paul there to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace? Now, he's talking about the unity of the Spirit within the whole body there, not your individual unity with the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, if you're not a part of a body, you are not in unity with the Spirit of God. It's worth pointing out here that there are times when there may be disputes over some matters which may require the standing firm on a matter, such as when Paul confronted Peter regarding circumcision and certain others regarding the causing of discord or heresy within the body of Christ. There is never a reason for people to cause discord within the body of Christ. Now, there is a reason to uphold what the Scripture says, but that can even be done without animosity. When Paul confronted Peter, he didn't do it necessarily with a lot of animosity. He just laid it out there. Here is the situation. This is what we need to be doing. We need to show to each one grace. Paul, in verse 7, brings out the point that grace is more than our salvation. Many people, when they think of grace, they say, well, that's our salvation. But it's more than just our salvation. Oh, that's a very important part of it. But that each of the gifts of functions are also grace given by God to each believer. You have gifts and abilities given you by God so that you can fit into the whole body of Christ as a part of the whole's function. So you have a function, but the whole body of believers together functions much better when everybody is in their function within the body in harmony. Now, my friends, that doesn't mean that we have to absolutely agree on every point of doctrine, but it does mean that we have to agree on faith in Christ. That's what we're called to, is the unity of the faith. Now, I may touch on that again in a moment or two, but let me move on. These gifts are not something we can that we earn, but gifts from the throne of God, gifts to be employed in God's kingdom. The gifts He gives us is not just for ourselves. It is for the building of the kingdom. And this is what so many people do not understand. They get something from God and then they hang on to it like if they do anything with it, it's just going to evaporate. It'll be gone. They treat it like money. Well, you see, in God's kingdom, there is no lack. You can't. Many of you have heard me say this before. If you give love away to someone, do you have less love to give? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, you probably have more love to give, because the more you learn to love, the more love there is to give. God Himself is love, the Scripture tells us. So, these gifts are not something we earn, but gifts from the throne of God. Gifts to be employed where? Not for our own personal thing. Now, we'll get personal benefit from it, but gifts to be employed in God's kingdom, in the kingdom of the blessing. Guess what gifts are? They are blessings within the blessing, the kingdom of the blessing. The number and types of gifts are apportioned and given through Christ by Christ's will. Now, some people may experience just a few gifts. But if they will allow themselves to grow in those gifts, they may find that they may receive other gifts, or that they will become, the gifts that they've been given will put them in a place where they know they're exactly where they're supposed to be, doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, let me talk for just a minute here about something that Paul said that he injected into this discourse. You see, this giving of grace is so powerful that when Jesus the Christ descended into hell to take back that which had been stolen from the first Adam, He also led captives to whom He had been given grace. He led them, the Scripture says, in His train as He ascended on high. He took them out, and He took them into heaven with Him. Do you know why? Because, my friend, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how low and what kind of a worm you think you are. There is no place where Christ cannot free you from it and show you the grace, restore you, and put you on a path of grace within the kingdom of love and grace. There is no place that you can have been, nothing you could have done, that can keep you from receiving that except for you. You just reject it. But if you do not reject it, there is no place that you've been where Christ cannot set you free from whatever it is. Now he starts talking specifically about some of the things, and Paul also makes it clear that there are some believers to which he has apportioned certain gifts for the preparing of God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So there are certain gifts that have been apportioned out. Apportioned usually means that everybody doesn't have the same portion of something. But they were apportioned out so that they could prepare God's people for works of service. That's you and I. You see, it is to be a unifying building, not by who's who, not by I'm bigger, better than you, not by who's who, but by each believer doing their function. That's how it's built up. It's not building up yourself other than allowing yourself to be built up in your gifts, but not to be better than the rest of the crowd. Orderly functioning of parts fulfills and demonstrates unity. Orderly functioning of all the parts. So if you and I are doing what we've been gifted to do, then, my friends, it demonstrates unity in the body, because we're moving in the same direction, we're bringing about precisely what God wanted us to bring about, we're doing it in His will and His way. This purpose is for the maturation in the works of service. That is so important. We must mature in the works of service. Why? Because we are not to remain infants. You know, Jesus said something very interesting. He said, unless you become as a little child, you remember that? If you've read Scripture, He talked about, unless you become as a little child, He said. Well, let me tie that from Mark into what I'm about to tell you that Paul wrote here in Ephesians 4. You see, infants are of little service until two things occur in them. The first is growth. The second is maturation within that growth. We can all understand how unfortunate it is when the physical body of a person comes to adulthood, but their mind remains at a preschool level or even an adolescent level. You know, it's an interesting thing. The word for child here that is used in the Scripture is very interesting because it actually ties in almost to an idiom in Hebrew as a new moon. Now, every language has idioms that don't really mean what the words say, but everybody knows what it means. You're like, if someone says, well, that just blew my mind, you know that your mind did not blow up. But when the Lord showed me, think of a new moon. How much light comes from a new moon? The new moon is what we call the dark of the moon. But as the days pass, what happens? There's a little sliver of light, and the next day the sliver gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger, and it gets bigger, until finally there's a full moon, where it is reflecting the total of the light that it can reflect. That is the kind of growth that the people I'm about to talk about are supposed to help bring about in the body of Christ, because they have gifts apportioned to them for that purpose. We can all understand, as I said, how unfortunate it is if a body grows up but the mind doesn't grow with it. This is why the truth must be spoken in love by who? By apostles, by prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to help the immature become mature. Their purpose is not to lord it over the body of Christ. Their purpose is to help raise the body of Christ to the full amount of the light that it can reflect of the God of love and the grace of God, in the same way that as each day progresses, it would be like a child being the new moon, and then as that child grew, it would reflect more light, more understanding, more patience, more of the gifts of the Spirit, more of everything, in order that each individual could function to their highest possible ability through Christ. You know, it matters not if what I do isn't as great as what someone else does. In the body of Christ, we should never be comparing ourselves to others. We should only be looking to Christ. The important thing is not where am I in relation to somebody else, but where am I in relationship to the gifts God has given me and my willingness to fulfill my function in those gifts. Does that make sense to you? That's what we need to be looking at. There's our comparison. Where am I compared to where God expects me and wants me to be? And how am I functioning within the body? Within the body. Now, how important is this? Because the Scripture tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. This is why the enemy comes against married couples so strongly. Because if people are at odds with one another, they can't pray together. They can't agree in prayer together. And so the enemy wins by 8,000. Because each of them will be able to put 1,000 to flight. So you've got two people, there's 2,000. But if they pray and agree together, look what happens. So if anybody ever tells you, I can do just as well on my own as a Christian and not be connected to somebody else in the body of Christ, if they just refuse to be connected to one other person, the enemy wins by 8,000. But if they refuse to, say, connect themselves with three people, then the enemy wins by 98,000. That's pretty significant. That's how important it is for us to grow in those areas where we have been given gifts and to function with others and not be isolated, because when we isolate ourselves, we are saying, okay, Satan, you can have power over all that other area. All I'm interested in is my 1,000, which becomes a mere pittance. Can you imagine if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, three can put 100,000 to flight, four could do what? Five could do what? Imagine a group of 50 people together or 100 people together. That's why when some people have these big crusades and people are walking in, they're healed on the way in. Because there is so much of the Spirit of God there. There is so much anointing because the body of Christ is larger there. The person holding the meeting never has to lay hands on anybody. It is just the power of the Spirit of God with that many people coming together with one purpose that just fills the place with an awesome presence of the Spirit of God. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each of the believers in that meeting. And imagine when you bring 50, 100, 10,000 people together. People say, well, why don't we see that in America? Because we don't often bring that many people together in America. Because we're individualists quite often. There are things that we can learn from our brothers and sisters in less affluent financially countries around the world, but when it comes to the spiritual things, they are rich indeed. Rich indeed. You see, it is from Christ that those submitted to fulfilling their gifts will be fitted to function within the body of Christ. For whose glory? For Christ's glory, my friends. For Christ's glory. If you want to see the power of God, then you get yourself connected with some other people who want to see the power of God work through them, not to entertain them. You must be a part of the function. And that's the purpose of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, to help bring you, to build you up in your abilities, and to help you attach to others so that the power of Christ can be so dramatically seen that nobody would allow themselves to become isolated and to concede territory. Why would we want to concede territory here on this earth that Jesus took back for us? We live in the kingdom of the blessing. The Garden of Eden relationship with God has been restored. So it is from Christ that those submitted to Him, you and I, if we're submitted to Him, will fulfill our gifts and will be fitted to function within the body of Christ for His glory. Now, my friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Paul being faithful and writing this down and sending it to our brothers and sisters in Ephesus. Oh, so many years ago. But we thank You that people gave their lives to bring this word to us so that we could know and be filled with the joy and the glory and the gifts that You have given to us in Your kingdom of blessing. The only true kingdom of true blessing is Yours, Heavenly Father. Where we've missed the mark, where we have fallen short, we apologize. We say we are so sorry. We are so sorry. We look to Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. And we say, Heavenly Father, allow us, in Jesus' name, to be filled with the glory that you have for us, for your kingdom, to bring the blessing, to reign on earth, and to let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you. Send your Holy Spirit to us to bolster us and to lift us up, and let us hear and understand those people that you put in our lives to help fit us for our function and our work in your kingdom. We thank you so. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen. Now, my friends, if you've prayed that prayer with me, you have either recommitted your life or for the first time committed your life to God. And if you're not a part of a body, a Bible-believing body of Christ that looks to the Scriptures, is led by the Word of God, is led by men and women of God, where you can function with men and women of God, you find just such a situation. And you get yourself involved in that situation. You get yourself involved with that congregation or that group, that fellowship of people. If you can't find anyone, you send me an email. Just go to our site, sojournershub.org. That's sojournershub.org. You go on there and you scroll down to the bottom of that home page, and you'll see where you can click there and you can send me an email. You send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. You send me an email. We will find someone, or we will work with you directly for you to find your function and work within it. So now it's time for us to step out of this session here, but I want to pray and say a blessing over you before we do. And this here, my friends, is the blessing, and when the blessing is over, the broadcast will be over. The blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, be on you, and all that is yours, by blood, adoption, or assignment, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.